Swamini Tinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bhajamani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vaschachi Desatani. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Premananda Gopurpur. I knew I could count on you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Hare. So, thank you all for coming to our program this morning. They've given this a title, Special Class, and so I have a special way that I've devised to cover a verse, two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam on the subject of Srimati Radharani. We're going to read the verse of one of them and the purport of the other. Both verses contain the same subject matter, but we'll go to the fifth canto and read this verse, but then we'll go back to the second canto and read a purport. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I have the second canto in front of me. Let's see if we can do the word for word from here. Rahugana, O King Rahugana, etat, this knowledge, upasa, by severe austerities and penances, na ijaya, by great arrangement for worshipping the deity, nirvapanat, or from finishing all material household duties and accepting sannyas. Grihat, from ideal householder life. Va, or na, not, nor. Chandasa, by observing celibacy or studying Vedic literature. Na, eva, nor. Jala agni surayai. By severe, by severe austerities. Such as keeping oneself in water,
in a burning fire,
or
in the scorching sun.
Vina,
without.
Mahat,
of great devotees.
Pararaja,
the dust of the lotus feet.
Abhishekam,
smearing all over the body.
Okay, well, I have the verse here in front of me in the second canto, so I won't have to strain my neck to look up there. My pronunciation of Sanskrit is bad enough besides adding a crooked neck to it. Varhuganai tat tapasano yati. Nacheyaya nirvapanat grihadva. Na chandasa naiva jalagni suryair.
Vina mahat
paravajo vishekam.
Vina
tapasana vayati. Nacheya nirva panad vihadva. Na chandasa naiva jalagni suryair. Vina mahat para rajo vishekam. Please chant. Such a big crowd, only two people? Oh, you can't see it. Oh, okay. Well, decorations are beautiful. Yes, please. Thank you very much, especially the children. So I'm going to go to the purport in the second canto and read the translation of what we just chanted there, because it comes in a flow of discussion that Prabhupada is giving in his purport. And so rather than read it and then reread it, we'll just read it all at once. So this verse goes back to the second canto, and the purport there is, the stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, quote, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great sage Jadvarat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of a paramahamsa, and in answer the great sage replied as follows, and this is the verse. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahamsa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, by the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of duties of household life, the chanting of Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure unconditional devotees, and as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never attainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants, and thus the Lord becomes pleased. And only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of Vedic literature, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotees. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees, and once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana tamarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun nivitana ena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So I chose this rather different combination of verse and purport today because I felt that in honor and to make an offering to Srimati Radharani, these verses and purports cover two very important aspects of that. One is Prabhupada's very wonderful statement here about Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of worldly feminine nature. What a beautiful description of Srimati Radharani Prabhupada has given. So Prabhupada is introducing Srimati Radharani to us here, and he's also giving us the means to approach Srimati Radharani. Those are the two things that this combination of these verses and purports give us. And so, as I thought about this and making the presentation, the thought came to my mind, well, what is the mercy of Srimati Radharani? What is it that can be attained by the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee? And as my mind started to race for an answer, and go to Google search to find some direction, I thought, wait a minute, hold on a minute. Guru Pad Ashraya. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami, and he tells them that if you want to understand devotional service, there's five things you have to do. The first of which is Guru Parashraya, to accept the lotus feet of a guru. I'll read the verse to you from Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 115. On the path of regulative devotional service, one must observe the following items. 1. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Accept initiation from him. 3. Serve him. 4. Receive instruction from the spiritual master and make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. 5. Follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. and follow the directions given by the spiritual master. So, Guru Parashraya, when that thought came to my mind, I said, well, wait a minute, how would Srila Prabhupada want us to understand Srimati Radharani? How would we've done that, we've at least nominally or with the body have, you know, taken initiation and trying to follow his instructions. So if I'm looking for the answer to what is the mercy of Srimati Radharani, I need look no further than Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And if I look there, then I can get some good instruction. And so after thinking like this, then I went to Google search. And there I found something very interesting. I actually found a whole essay written on this very topic of how Srila Prabhupada wants us to understand Srimati Radharani. It was an article written by old good friend of mine and godbrother, senior godbrother, Satsarup Maharaj. He wrote this piece, which is actually entitled Srila Prabhupada's Presentation of Srimati Radharani by Satsarup Das Goswami. Now, he's done a lot of research, and practically everything that I present to you here this morning is going to be taken from that article I read, so I want to make sure that everyone notes that I credited the author and the researcher and the realizations of my old friend Satsarup Maharaj in this regard, because some very interesting things are presented about how we can approach Srimati Radharani and get her mercy. Okay. So let's go back, as Satsarup Maharaj does, to the very early days at 22nd Avenue, when Srila Prabhupada was just beginning the Krishna consciousness movement, and as part of that, introducing us to Srimati Radharani. He gave an example about the first two initiations. If you recall the history of ISKCON, which is another interest of mine, there were two initiations. The first initiation was on Janmashtami, and the second initiation was on Radhashtami. And so one way that Srila Prabhupada introduced the movement and the original followers and all of us to Srimati Radharani was on the basis of these 2 days. Now, we all know that on Janmashtami, what do we do all day long? Yeah, we fast. We fast till midnight, you know. Still, after 40 years, it's an austerity, you know, to fast all day on Janmashtami. But what about Radhashtami? Radhashtami is half day. Radhashtami is half day. And so, Satsarup Maharaj recounts that Srila Prabhupada said that on Janmashtami, we have to fast all day until midnight because Krishna is very strong and hard. But on Radhashtami, we would only have to fast until noon because Radharani is soft and kind. So the first thing we understand, we know about Srimati Radharani is that she's soft and kind. And that makes us, again, think of that statement that we can never hear enough from the purport we read today. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of worldly feminine nature. So when we see the beautiful deity of Srimati Radharani, we naturally think, Srimati Radharani, you're so beautiful. But when we also understand that she's soft and kind, oh, it just melts our heart and attracts us to her immediately. So that nature is also can be termed to be compassionate. And so Prabhupada said at that same time that Srimati Radharani is interested in the welfare of all. Thus, you can pray to her. So he gave us a method to approach her also. Not only do we understand her nature is soft and kind, but because she's compassionate, Prabhupada said, you can pray to her for help because she's interested in your welfare. Beautiful, beautiful, and quite fortunate, all of us, to have this kind of access. And he also added that we could follow in her footsteps. Follow in her footsteps doing what, by the way? Service to Krishna. Right, service to Krishna. Because Radharani is also the best devotee because she loves Krishna the most. She's also the best devotee because she loves Krishna the most. Now think about these instructions. Of course, as I mentioned, it's been 40, maybe 50, nearly 50 years for some of the devotees in worshiping Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And so different realizations may be there. But I think that if you have those realizations, take them back to these simple statements of Srila Prabhupada. And I think that you'll find them there in a very seed or seed-like form. Prabhupada is giving us so much in these simple descriptions of Radharani as soft and kind and being interested in the welfare of everyone and being the best devotee because she loves Krishna the most. So there's a section of the Nectar of Devotion where Prabhupada describes this quality of Radharani as being compassionate. He says, Prabhupada says, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So we can offer prayers today as we observe this very beautiful white kund. I wanted to ask Mother Hari Puja, I know one of the kunjas around Radhakund, they have snow there. I mean, this is where the snow is, and this one that's white, I don't know. I heard that they have snow. That's one of the things we heard in the early days. There's snow, but it's not cold. I mean, I don't know if that was just a concoction or not, or just maybe taking from Induleka's kund of being all white, that we assumed snow would be there. But maybe she can answer that for us. Yeah, the rays of the full moon. When the curtains opened, it was full moon time. It was like the moon shining. It was very, very beautiful. Of course, in speaking about praying to the deities, Prabhupada also indicated that the Hare Krishna mantra is a prayer to Srimati Radharani. He said that the easiest way to address her is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is made up of the names of Radha and Krishna. O energy of the Lord, Hara, O Lord, please engage me in your service. So part of our prayer is not just to give our woe, but to give glorification through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra, to praise the divine couple. Today we're fortunate that Lakshmi Nisringa Prabhu was here and he gave us a nice kirtan. As I drove up and heard that voice, I said to my wife, is that Lakshmi Nisringa? I'm so quite happy to see him here. I want to thank he and his wife, Padarajani, for coming back to Alachua and lead us in this wonderful prayer to Srimati Radharani. Although I must admit that sometimes he was saying Radha Govinda, and I thought, oh, this is Radha Shyam Sundar's territory, not Radha Govinda's territory. But he's from New York, what can I do? Radha Govinda are there. Okay, so these are some ways that Prabhupada gave us to understand and approach Srimati Radharani, but we know that Prabhupada was also generally pretty grave and reserved about talking about Srimati Radharani and her pastimes with Krishna. So why? Why was he reserved? I mean, got Radharani soft and kind. She cares about our welfare. She has a compassionate nature. So why? Why be hesitant or reserved when speaking about her or glorifying her activities? Well, Satya Mars, in this little piece, explains two reasons, and I thought they were very interesting, and so I'll also add a little bit of the realization I got from reading what he says. Two reasons. One is that we're neophytes. And neophytes, as defined here, is defined according to my own realization based on what he said. Neophytes means basically we are materialists and we see things in terms of our material conditioning, and that we don't necessarily have a spiritual perspective on things that we see or we observe. Just like if we observe the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we tend to think of those things in ordinary material terms. Let me read what Satya Mars wrote here. He says, also Prabhupada was preaching in the West, and it is the nature of materialistic persons outside of Vedic culture to take Radha and Krishna affairs as ordinary sex affairs. Prabhupada explained this with the example of the cow who experienced fire in the barn. It's a very nice little story here. The cow who experienced fire in the barn. Once there was a fire in a barn, and a cow became so frightened that thereafter, whenever she saw the color red, she panicked. In a similar way, conditioned souls are so traumatized or addicted to sex pleasure that as soon as they see a picture of Krishna embracing Radha, they think, yes, this is the same as what I feel for my girlfriend. This is what it means to be a neophyte. We think in material terms. And because we're just like that cow, we can only see things in one way. Then we see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or we hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We think, oh, well, I can relate to that. That's just like me and what I do with my friends and my girlfriend or my boyfriend. That's a neophyte. And in preaching to neophytes, what Srila Prabhupada was doing, and which I, at least in the case of myself, and what Srila Prabhupada is still doing, I think that some gravity and reservation is required. So that's one way. Now the other way that Satya Maharaj mentions here is prakriti sahajya, the tendency to be prakriti sahajya. Now, what's the difference between a neophyte and a prakriti sahajya? Well, the prakriti sahajyas add in some idea that spiritual advancement can be there in a mundane interpretation of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And so they mix this in and thus take spiritual life and take the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna very cheaply. And Prabhupada was afraid of this. Prabhupada was also afraid that if the devotees took prematurely to Radha Krishna affairs, they would become prakriti sahajyas, those who take confidential matters too cheaply. He told about a man who said, whenever I hear the name of Radha, I always think of a barber's wife whose name is Radha. So Prabhupada wanted to be very careful in this regard. He said, don't try to understand Radha Krishna very quickly. It is a very big subject. If we want to understand Radha Krishna very quickly, then there will be so many Prakriti Sahajyas. In India, there are Prakriti Sahajyas, just like Radha Krishna dancing. Radha Krishna has become a plaything. The painting of Radha Krishna, Krishna kissing Radha, Radha kissing, these are all nonsense. Radha Krishna philosophy has to be understood by liberated persons who are not by conditioned souls. So we shall wait for the fortunate moment when we are liberated, then we shall understand Radha Krishna, Pranaya Vakatir. So, although Prabhupada's offering strong caution here, he's not eliminating the possibility that we can understand the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but it depends on qualification. Here he mentions understood by liberated persons. And that gets back to the instructions that are in the verse we read today. Maharaj Rahugana, who is being instructed by Jed Bharat, is asking a question, well, how did you become to this stage of Paramahamsa stage, which is a liberated stage at which one can understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna? And the answer was, what was the answer? Abhishekam, bathing in the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, who has served another pure devotee, who has served another pure devotee at infinitum. That's the way to understand. And so that's the way you have to approach. And so therefore, Prabhupada was generally reserved here for these two reasons, and probably so many other reasons which we all will still be discovering throughout our lives as we practice Krishna consciousness by celebrating days such as Radhastami Day. But despite being cautious like this, Prabhupada did not neglect us and not give us any sweetness of Srimati Radharani. That he did also very early on in the establishment of the Krishna consciousness movement. There was a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in 1968 on Radhastami, and now we're entering into territory where we may actually have people in the audience here who were at some of these lectures. So if they are, read Lakshmi Moni. You can add to our discussion here. But in a lecture in 1968, Prabhupada explained Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Thank you. He was explaining this bhajan. Actually, during the course of the lecture, he asked for a harmonium to be brought to him, and he sang. He actually sang the bhajan and explained. And he's giving us the sweetness of Srimati Radharani. He says, she is so dear to Krishna. Everyone is trying to love Krishna, but Krishna is trying to love somebody. How great she is. Just try to understand. The whole world, the whole universe, all living beings are trying to love Krishna, Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is so valuable, but Krishna is after Radharani. Just see how Radharani is great. To understand the greatness of Radharani, she is so great, we have to offer our respect. And how is she? Gokula Tarini Mandala Mahite. Gokula Tarini means young girls. You see the pictures. They are all young girls. She is the most beautiful. She is enchanting to the young girls also. She is so beautiful. Gokula Tarini Mandala Mahite Damodara Rati Vardana Veshe. She always dresses herself so nicely that Damodar, Krishna, becomes attracted by her beauty. She is the only lovable object of Krishna. She is the queen of Vrindavan. You will find in Vrindavan, if you go to Vrindavan, everyone is worshipping Radharani. Rani means queen. They are always speaking, Jai Radhe, Radharani. All the devotees in Vrindavan are worshippers of Radharani. Karuna kuru mai karuna barite sanaka sanatan vanita charite. Now someone may say, oh you are so great learned scholar, you are so great saintly person, and you are begging mercy from an ordinary girl? How is that? Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, oh, this she is not an ordinary girl. Sanaka Sanatan Varnita Charite. This girl's description is possible to be made only by great saintly persons like Sanaka and Sananda. Sanaka and Sanatan. She is not ordinary. So, while we can appreciate the beauty of Srimati Radharani, and many devotees have commented when they visit here, how fortunate we all are in this community that we have such a beautiful form of Srimati Radharani that we can see daily. And they're so impressed. I know Dravida, he's come here 100 times. And every time when he sits down to give class, you note, because he usually comes in October on his way to India or something. You note, every time he comes here, when he sits down, the first thing he says, you're so fortunate to be worshipping Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. So they're so beautiful. So we can appreciate that beauty, that sweetness in the deity form, and pray that someday we'll see her in person, which is possible by bathing in the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees of the Lord. In a 1969 lecture on Radhastami, Prabhupada talked about Radharani as the pleasure potency, the Ladini Shakti of Krishna. So Prabhupada taught from the very beginning and always reemphasized that we just have to have a desire to love, that just as we have a desire to love and have pleasure, so that desire exists in the Supreme Person, Krishna. But when he wants to desire, he does not desire pleasure from an ordinary person. He expands into his pleasure potency, and that is Radharani. So actually, Radharani is not different from Krishna. So, these are ways in which Prabhupada gave us the sweetness of Srimati Radharani. But he also gave us his own deep affection for Srimati Radharani. And there's a difference. There's a difference between Prabhupada explaining Radharani's sweetness to us, getting us to appreciate that, and his own deep realizations and love for Srimati Radharani. And he gave that to us also. One way he gave that to us is an exercise that we, following in his footsteps, do every time we sit down together like this in an assembly to discuss Krishna's instruction and his pastimes. And that is what? Jai Radha Madhava. Actually, Prabhupada is unique in this regard. I don't think any of the other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, past or present, take this approach of singing this Jai Radha Madhava every time. So it's actually an indication of Prabhupada's deep affection for Srimati Radharani. And again, there may be some people in the audience today that know, but when Prabhupada was in Gorakhpur in India, he was singing Jai Radha Madhava and he became stunned in ecstasy. He couldn't go on. Was Yadavar there? Were you there? In Gorakhpur? Or Prabhupada? You weren't there. Mm-hmm. But he I think it happened more than once when he was singing Jai Radha Madhava. So we should understand how this has an indication of his deep love and affection for Srimati Radharani. Now, displaying that to us, he also taught us how we may, at some point in the future of our execution, maybe future lives, we can also have similar affection. But to get there, there's a certain mood that we have to undertake. And just by coincidence, Mother Hari Puja, when she was reading this morning the description of this beautiful altar decoration, She also described that mood by which we can attain affection for Srimati Radharani. Now, who remembers what she said? Follow the six Goswamis is getting there. Who is it? Who's saying that? Okay, yes, Mother Jayarati. Jayarati! Separation, this mood of separation, is how we can attain to the type of affection for Srimati Radharani that Srila Prabhupada is giving us and wanted us to have. So I'll read the quote again, because it's practically the same quote that she read. Prabhupada quoted, Hey Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalilite, Hey Nandasuno Kuta. Where is Radharani? Where are you? Where are your associates? Where are you? Nandasuno, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. Where are you all? They were searching after. They never said, I have seen Krishna dancing with the gopis. Last night I saw. This is Sahajiya. They take everything very cheaply. They take Krishna very cheap and Radharani very cheap. As if they can see every night. No, the Goswamis don't teach us like that. They are searching after. So we have to follow the footprints of the Goswamis, how to search out Krishna and Radha, Radharani. As we may do this in Vrindavan or within our heart, the process of devotional service is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't say that very easily we have seen Krishna or Radha in Rasalila. No, not like that. Feel the separation. The more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand that you are advancing. So that separation is felt here, as Prabhupada says, within our hearts. That's the mood, that's how where our heart should be situated, in feelings of separation from Krishna. Prabhupada even instructed that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should be feeling this type of separation. He said that if you engage your tongue in the service of the Lord, He will reveal Himself to you. Here I am. We should feel separation from Krishna just like Radharani, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, and engage our tongues in the service of the Lord. Then one day we will mature. When we are mature, we will see Krishna eye to eye. And then there's just one more point on this, and this is about an internal meditation. And this is from the Anchalila, chapter 14 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us that Radharani's emotions after seeing Uddhava exactly correspond to those of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then in the purport, Prabhupada says that some declare, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such cultivation of separation is easy for Him, but nullify this idea. No. Easy for Him, but difficult for the living entity. And so we can approach Krishna in any way we like. To nullify this idea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated practically how we can achieve love of Krishna by adopting Srimati Radharani's mood of separation from Krishna. So that may seem a little counterintuitive to our materialistically infused minds, but how does seeing ourselves separate from Krishna rather than joined with Krishna help us to join Krishna? But no matter how it seems to our minds, which are materially polluted and can't understand things correctly, this mood of separation as exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani is advised by Srila Prabhupada as the mood with which we can approach our own affectionate relationship with Srimati Radharani. And then the final point that Satrup Maharaj makes in his article here and that I want to share with you this morning is about Prabhupada's, not only his deep affection for Srimati Radharani, but let's take it a little further to his actual ecstasies in relationship with Srimati Radharani. Because Prabhupada gave us this also. Where did Prabhupada give us his ecstasies? And his purports to his books. He says to us that that's where these purports are my ecstasies. So let's look at a couple of them that have been chosen by Satrup Mars to illustrate this point about his ecstasies that reveal his love for Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he is describing the feelings of separation felt by the members of the Yadu dynasty for Krishna, Prabhupada says, "The feelings of separation cannot be described, but it can simply be imagined by devotees only." After his separation from Vrindavan, and the innocent rural cowherd boys, girls, ladies, and others, they all felt shock throughout their lives. And the separation of Radharani, the most beloved cowherd girl, is beyond expression. Once they met at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse, and the feelings which was expressed by them is heart-rending. So this is Prabhupada's experience of the feelings of love and separation from Srimati Radharani and Krishna, as given in his purports. And one last purport from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada says, "Srimati Radharani is the center of all Vrindavan's activities. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant, Jai Radhe. From Krishna's own statement given herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and that Krishna is simply her decoration. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, but Radharani is the enchanter of Krishna." So these are some thoughts on how Srila Prabhupada would have us understand Srimati Radharani. And I think it's particularly important for us to understand that and follow that, because if we don't, then this verse that we read from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam becomes meaningless to us. So does our entire attempt to Guru Parashraya, to take shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. By doing that, the spiritual world opens to us. If we neglect that, then sort of we're on our own. We're on our own. And how can we attain such a valuable thing on our own? We need all the help that we can get. And that help is being adequately offered to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He's being assisted. You know, I always wonder every day when Mother Mukhi gets up to make the announcement, she says that today, these are the devotees who assisted their spiritual master in dressing the deities. Why assisted? I mean, they may have served their spiritual master. Why assisted? Now I understand why assisted. Because we need to take that assistance of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to understand anything about Krishna consciousness, what to speak about the most confidential subject matter of Srimati Radharani. And so assistance is what's given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and assistance in Him and His mission, dressing the deities and doing everything else we do in this wonderful ISKCON movement, is what we do in reciprocation. And if we do that, then we can enter into the confidential pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Shyamasundara. Hare Krishna. So we have a few minutes, I think, before they're starting to set up for the Abhishek. Are there any comments or additions, questions? Rajivan Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. For the last 10 years, I have been actually in Barsana, on Radha Ashtami, and this is my first time after 10 years. And I want to tell you, since this morning, I am not missing Barsana, seeing the wonderful...
Jai Shri Radhe!
The warm devotion of the devotees can be anywhere, like Prabhupada said, wherever there is devotees, wherever there is bhakti, there is the dham. Today is Radharani's appearance day, and there is a statement I read by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, where he says, "We are devotees of Srimati Radharani. The only reason we worship Krishna is because she worships Krishna." So, and also, as we all know, Lord Sri Krishna loves to be teased by the devotees of Radharani, by the sakhis of Radharani. So in that mood, I want to tell a small story. This story is mentioned in Bhaktamal, and it is mentioned by the acharyas and devotees of Braj. When Lord Sri Krishna, he lifted the Govardhan hill, then afterwards, many groups of devotees were discussing this amazing work that Krishna did, how a seven-year-old boy was able to lift Govardhan Hill for 7 days. So the sakhis of Radharani, her devotees, they were discussing, and they were saying, how is it that he was able to lift Govardhan Hill for 7 days? And then one sakhi said, no, it wasn't him who lifted. Didn't you know? Right there, Nanda Maharaj became very worried that how my boy is going to lift this huge mountain, and so many sakhas were helping with their sticks. But the person who lifted Govardhan Hill was Srimati Radharani. And they said, how can that be? They said, because Shandilya Rishi, he was approached by Nanda Maharaj, and he was asked that how can we mitigate the suffering of Lord Sri Krishna, our little boy who is lifting this mountain. And Shandilya Muni at that time suggested that please worship Srimati Radharani right now and put her on a Sringhasan right in front of Krishna. And when Krishna takes constant darshan of Radharani, he will have the strength to lift this huge mountain. And that is how he was able to lift Govardhan Hill. And then just at that time, one other sakhi said, no, actually, Radharani literally lifted Govardhan Hill. Oh, how is that? He said, because don't you know the Siddhanta, the philosophy, is ek prana do dehi. They are actually one super soul, and they have separated into two bodies in order to do leela and loving exchanges. So they are actually one body. But when they are one body, then the left side is Radharani, and right side is Krishna. So if Krishna had lifted the Govardhan Hill with his right finger, it would have been him. But because it was lifted by the left finger, it was Radharani who lifted the Govardhan Hill. So...
Well, there's another perspective. And I heard this morning. I was listening to a lecture by Radha Swami that he gave on Radhastami. And he was talking about Mother Yashoda's perspective, that she was also worried about how he was going to hold the hill, but her worry was mitigated because she understood she had Radharani coming and cooking for Krishna every morning, and so by eating Radharani's cooking, he got the strength to hold Govardhan Hill.
So now we know on Govardhan Puja who to worship, whether it's going to be Radharani or Lord Shri Krishna.
Well, you know, this is coming up in our study of the Bhagavatam in the morning, the lifting of Govardhan Hill. He actually lifts it Monday. Where's Namarita? Namarita Prabhu is giving class on that day. The verse is Monday, isn't it? Next Monday. So stay tuned on Monday. You know, who's that? We'll find out from Namarita who's actually lifting Govardhan Hill.
Thank you very much. Srimati Radha Rani Ki Jai.
So looks like you're ready? Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.